Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Oxnard where the fan cam is up and going courtesy of Uber One. And just remember, whenever you get that opportunity for those three live mics from Men's Tee Clinic, you can get back to being you with mensteeclinic.com. Now, I want to talk about the trade deadline a little bit, but Mike, I kind of wanted to, I know we've talked about, and we'll have the opportunity to talk more about, will the Rangers do anything else? You've said you think they have made their moves, but something that David Robertson was asked that I thought really gave a great reflection into what this process is like. I believe it was Evan Grant. My apologies if I've got it wrong. Tried asking David Robertson what the last 24 hours have been like for his club with being swept at Toronto, trading for a catcher, trading away a starter. His response was, I didn't even know how to answer that one. Ask me tomorrow at 5 p.m. when I'm still here. So I know we talk about like making the club better and everything like that, but Mike, this sounds like an immensely stressful time, I'm sure across all sports, but especially for the baseball deadline, probably the basketball deadline too.
Well, I guess I know we make a lot less money than professional athletes. Can you imagine right now, Kevin, with your house and your newborn child,
if
there was a good chance that you were getting traded to San Francisco today?
And you're like, do I have to start looking at houses? Yeah. How fast can I get my kid in a new school?
And you probably don't want to look at houses because you're a free agent. And then, so you're just like, I mean, that's the life of a professional athlete is that, hey, I don't know what they're going to do. Probably a lot of guys in the room didn't think Michael Lorenzen was going to get traded after throwing four innings, after throwing 40 pitches the day before and then getting traded the next day. Like, it's like, I really don't know what's going to happen. So I can maybe better answer that question if I'm here on the team after the trade deadline. And I do think David Robertson is going to be here. I don't think he's getting traded. I could be surprised. He makes $10 million this year. I do think that the Rangers' budget going forward is going to be, I don't know what, I'll just say less. I won't add another word, but I think the Rangers are not going to be spenders in the offseason. I don't know if they're going to be spenders anytime soon. They owe three guys approximately $100 million next year, and that's Seager, Semien, and DeGrom. I don't think they're going to spend that much more on the 23 other guys on the team going forward.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's the position we're in today. So if you're like, I want the Rangers to do this, or I want the Rangers to do that, I think that the Rangers' future is uncertain because of finances. Now, that's the thing about this year, is this year could be important. I don't know what they're going to be able to put out on the field next year in a division that looks very winnable in the near future. I think Houston almost went all in on Kikuchi, and my thinking is this. Bregman's gone.
Right.
And I get it. But Bregman's a free agent who's going to get $20 to $30 million a year on a long-term contract somewhere. And I don't know. Maybe they're looking at going Verlander's pretty much done. They might go, this is it. This was our last chance. And why not go get another pitcher to go for our last chance? We have nothing in our farm system. And you look at it from a Ranger standpoint, you go, you do have Lankford and Young, and you're hoping that Carter can come back and play in his career. And, you know, you look at it and go, maybe we're in a better situation for the future than Houston is. But if financially you can't support the team in a $200 million salary or more, then I don't know what the future is. So maybe this year, Ranger fans, 3.5 games back, and going, well, we're going to do this in the offseason or that in the offseason, maybe you're not going to be able to.
Kevin, this is an interesting question from the 972. Is this a Ray Davis issue or a Bally issue? And I think it's a baseball issue and its reliance on regional sports money, as opposed to, as we pointed out the other day with the NFL, the huge chunk of the pie is their national TV money.
That's
and it's tough
point.
For baseball with all its games and with all its teams to be able to be supported by a national TV product.
So think about what's happening right now, and I think tomorrow as well. There is a hearing taking place at which point.
I think it got postponed.
Okay, did it? Do you know when it got postponed,
Till? I think indefinitely.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
What a line.
All right. Well, yeah, go ahead and bring him on in. We'll switch up the clock just a little bit, Reggie, and we're just going to keep rocking right here and right now. But that got postponed indefinitely, but the bankruptcy judge was going to determine if Bally Sports moves forward as a business or shuts down entirely. So, like, that's what's at stake with the money and everything like that. Right now, we bring to you on the On Time Experts Hot Seat. Remember, On Time Experts Air Conditioning and Plumbing, same day service guarantee. We bring to you Jordan Lewis. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing really well. How about yourself?
Doing amazing.
Hey, Jordan, Mike's back at the studio in Dallas right now, but he recently informed us that whenever a team baseball is being autographed, and thank you for autographing our charity ball here, whenever a team baseball is being autographed, you got to save the sweet spot for coach. The manager puts it on there. Do you guys just sign wherever? Do y'all just pick whatever's open?
Whatever is open. Honestly, I've never heard of that rule. That was crazy. Hopefully I didn't get that. Right in the middle.
Right there in the sweet. Oh, I didn't even. That was just kind of like.
You're going to get McCarthy and he's going to be like, what the hell?
I'm sorry.
Actually, it was during spring training. We had a ball like this, a baseball for the team, and Josh Young. He had signed the sweet spot,
right,
and Bochy looked at it, and he just kind of looked at me, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what he had to do there. So that's the way that rocked.
Yeah, I'm going to start signing on the sides now.
Okay. Well, look, if nothing else, hopefully we have taught you something from
Absolutely.
That, because I know you will give us lots of information. I guess starting with how much fun is it to know that or feel like you've gotten inside the head of one of your opponents? Maybe it's their body language. maybe it's somebody talking back that normally wouldn't talk back. Yeah. Like, how much fun is that moment where you're like, got him?
Oh, it's amazing because, you know, it's a game within a game, and you see that you've won that game. It's definitely a pride. And, you know, hopefully we can get them out of their game plan a little bit and get them some, you know, divert some attention on, you know, some of my antics, so I'm glad some of it worked a little bit.
I like that you described it as antics.
He knows.
Is there anything you've ever reflected on and you're like, man, that worked, but that was kind of ridiculous? Like,
absolutely. Yeah.
Do you care to give us an example?
I cannot do
that. Okay. It's a family show. I appreciate that.
Now, one of the things, we had a pretty serious discussion about the slots position and how difficult it is. One of the things I love about you is you never really make business decisions. You're just like, I'm putting my nose in there. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get the football. I'm trying to hit somebody. I'm trying to pop the ball out. But the spot in the slot, how much different? What is the difference between that and playing on the outside And how much more of an athlete do you have to be in that slot spot?
I wouldn't say that because we got great athletes. Yeah. We got some of the premier athletes out there. So, shout out to them. But they'd tell you that it's very hard to play slot. So, I mean, everybody would agree with me when I say, like, that's probably one of the hardest positions in the secondary because you got to go out there and hit like a linebacker, but you got to cover guys and, you know, all of the space. So he can go left, he can go right. You don't have a sideline, you know, as your friend. So, I mean, it's definitely a hard position. But, I mean, I take pride in it. You know, I take pride in, you know, taking on that challenge and bringing on the best slot guy they got and just playing some good ball. So, I mean, I'm excited for this year. I know I'm going to be doing a lot of different things. So I'm excited to see what we do.
Mike talks a lot. He played baseball, and he talks a lot about Mahomes. Being a baseball player, shortstop, making these kind of wild throws, how much does your love for basketball help you play defense against guys knowing they're going to cut either way?
It's crazy because I started as like a receiver, so mm-hmm. I knew like the movements and
route
stuff like
trees,
that, like a crossover, and you know, just having that time clock in your head and knowing that he can't do that many moves, and you know, just trying to seeing guys set up there where their heads are and stuff like that, trying to set up the crossover or you know, getting off the line. It helped a lot. It definitely helped a lot. Sliding your feet, just lateral quickness. It helps to you know try to match up those releases. So I give a lot of that to, you know, playing basketball.
You tell the kids out there then, hey,
yeah,
play all the sports.
Yeah, multi-sport athlete because, you know, a lot of those sports translate to different sports and you can learn a lot from, you know, a lot of different techniques from playing multiple sports.
Can you still break out a smooth crossover dribble?
Absolutely.
Anytime.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
That won't tell you. I dropped them.
Oh, man, no.
Made him touch earth.
Is that right?
Exclusive y'all got.
Okay, so yeah. If we interview him, sometimes it can be hard to break him out of his pattern of answers, and I understand why. Us media folks are the worst.
Some of my antics.
Okay.
Let's see if I
heard
see if
one
work.
Of Jordan Lewis's antics was dropping you on your ass when he crossed you over. Okay, all right, good. That's what I want to hear. Now, what made you, I don't know if you want to say come back or just stay with the Cowboys, what made you when you signed say, I need to be here or I want to be here?
I had a conversation with Zim, you know, when I was about to sign back, I knew, like, he was like, we're going to do some different things. You know, we're not just going to have you back there just covering and, you know, we're going to use you in multiple different ways. And, you know, I just want to experience what that would be like. And
you going to be blitzing?
I'm going to do different things.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to do different things.
I mean, is there anything you can kind of tell us that is stands out?
It won't just be manned up on the slot all day.
Okay.
So, you know, we give the guys different looks, and it's definitely going to be fun, you know, to be in different positions on the field and just trying to mess with the quarterback and mess with the offense and trying to just disrupt any way I can. So I'm definitely excited about that.
Obviously, everybody knows that sports is a business, and I get that. And you talk about loyalty, and you're like, well, where's the team loyalty to me and mm-hmm. with players and everything? But is there something about like sticking with the same team mm-hmm. that makes it mean anymore, or is that just maybe not so much?
For me, I've always stuck with a team. You know, I've always been, you know, I never was a little league guy just traveling around or a different high school. So I definitely take pride in staying in one place, and especially when we're trying to grow and do something. I mean, when you go for 12 games, you win 12 games in 3 years, I mean, you got to see what, you know, what you can do next, because I feel like we can get to that next level. But it's definitely, we have all the ingredients here, especially on defense, to be really good. So I felt like, you know, it's another opportunity, another challenge to see if we can take the Cowboys over the top.
With the Zimmer defense, and I know the other day he was talking about he's using disguising more mm-hmm. than he's ever used it before. Yeah. How important is, and the orchestration of it all, too, how important is disguising for quarterbacks now, considering how much access they have to information and all that?
I mean, it means a lot, man, because, you know, right now it's about, like, being on time and having rhythm passing and stuff like that, because a lot of those routes, you know, you got to be precise. So, you know, if you can give guys different looks and make them, you know, hold the ball to tick faster, I mean, tick slower, it helps the defense, you know, a tremendous bit. So if you can get the quarterback thinking or get him off his first look, that'll help the rush get home, and you know we can get cover sacks or stuff like that. So it definitely helps to know that, you know, the disguises, you know, can help you and kind of protect you from, you know, what offenses are trying to do and trying to attack you.
I know it's early in camp, but we've heard some buzz about Tyron Billy Johnson. Mm-hmm. What have you noticed from him out there?
Man, he's been doing that since last year. He's been doing that since he got here. So, I mean, he's just, everything is coming together for him. You know, he's understanding the playbook more, you know, when he can do, you know, his different types of releases and when he can get open and stuff like that. So, I mean, he's doing a good job just, you know, putting it all together. And I'm excited for him because I know we knew he could play. You know, we knew he could play. It's just him understanding what they wanted from him on offense and getting the playbook down. So,
I'm not saying you directly are responsible for this, but I'm hoping we can solve this problem okay. today. Why does a defensive back run up and do the "no, you didn't catch it" sign when you know damn well that you had nothing to do with that? Like, it's a bad I'm not saying just you, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's a bad throw, yeah. and you run up here like, no
it's
catch.
It's a sigh of relief. Whew.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. You know
what I'm saying? Like, yeah, we got another down.
So you're not saying I broke it up.
Yeah,
you're just like,
thank God.
Okay. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because there are so many, like, little tiny things I'm sure you get annoyed by in football, but that's one of them when I was like, not you, just in general. I was like, bro, you got cooked on that. Like, it's a bad throw.
It bailed you out. It's another down. Let's see you do it again. Thank God.
Okay.
We're safe. We're safe. In baseball, I love that answer. I will see it from that way from now on
instead of the other way. Jordan Lewis here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Really, I'm really proud of you, man. Like, you've watching you grow on the field, but also, like, from your first interview, remember whenever you were here, I could hear your first interview to where you are right now. You got a lot of perspective, and I've always appreciated that about you.
Thank you.
How many minutes do you think Jason Tatum should get? On the Olympic team, or does he just need to stay over there?
I feel like if you are, you know, an NBA champion, mm-hmm. you should play a little bit. I feel like you should get on the floor just, you know, out of respect.
Okay.
You know, just because I know I might not have been the MVP, but at least I won. You know what I'm saying? Like,
do you think Steve Kerr knows that he can play all the players? Because in going into the second game, he said, we'll definitely play Tatum, probably Halliburton. I'm not sure who's going to sit. Do you think somebody just needs to give him a heads up and be like, you could play all of them if you want?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sport, bro. I mean, where guys are like the top of their game. Like, it's not like you picking from like the Charlotte Bobcats or nothing like that.
He knows. Hey, we got PJ. We're good. You know?
I didn't say the Hornets. I said the Bobcats.
Oh yeah, the Bobcats. Yeah. That's right.
The Bobcats. They gone. But I'm just like, bro, you got world talent. You know what I'm saying? So just see. Maybe let's see what Jason Tatum could do in the world. Let's give it a try.
Is it bad that I kind of want to see him not play because I'm still sad over the
NBA
Finals?
No, I definitely don't want him to play. Okay. But he's a world champion though.
He is. I know.
Oh man, I guess some silence. Like just give me some. I'm excited to see him not play. The way he did us.
That team, the way that the U.S. team right now, mm-hmm. like is that a collection of the best talent you've seen? Like, where do you put that against our old 92?
You know, I saw it. You got to put it in perspective because a lot of guys, like, okay, the talent, this and that, they blew everybody out. But that world team in 92, they didn't play a lot of international talent that was in the NBA.
There were six players in the NBA that they faced.
Now there's 60.
So it's like the world has, you know, transformed, and it's more of a global sport to where it's like we got a Luka Doncic, you know what I'm saying? We got Jokic. So, like, you can't compare the two. Like, these guys are, like, MVPs, final MVPs, like, all NBA guys that's in the world. Like, Shea Alexander, like, you know, it got some guys in the world to where it's, like, it's kind of hard to compare the two. And for us to dominate Canada, I know it was an exhibition like that. It's impressive.
I had a group. I was like, they just keep rolling out NBA players in Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
They just did.
Are you obligated to also just mention Franz Wagner in every NBA conversation just so you can show some love?
I mean, he just got paid too, man.
He did.
He's a rising star.
Now, you said something, I think it was last week, that I was really intrigued by. I got to train my movements and do DB stuff. Can you give us any more information about what DB stuff encapsulates?
Just a lot of man-to-man work, just working on, you know, my breaks at the top of the routes, you know, speed turning and things like that I couldn't do last year because of my foot. I was just rehabbing it. So just being able to, you know, work on those movements, being able to break at the break point, and, you know, just have that muscle memory to go out here and do the same thing without even thinking about it. It helped me a lot. You know, it's just some things that you just have to repeat, you know, just have repetition at it. And I didn't have that, you know, coming into last year.
Well, talking about that, not necessarily from a physical standpoint, how much easier does it make your life from a mental standpoint being away from the rehab and everything?
It means everything, man, because you don't have to worry about, you know, just playing through pain. You can just go out there and just work on, you know, your technique. You don't have to work about you don't have to worry about different movements that hurt you, or, you know, I got to plant like this when if he does this and that. So it takes that, you know, that the mental, you know, gymnastics out of it. You know, I could just go out there and play my technique without having to worry about my foot, you know, bother me.
Okay, you said we a minute ago regarding the Mavs, I'm presuming there. And the Rangers recently won the World Series. They got to that level. You can see there seems to be a different mindset when you get playoff level.
Exactly.
Where do you think this team needs to develop or grow to get past, hey, we were 12-5. Yeah. We had 12 wins this year, and you know what? We're on our way to an NFC championship game.
We have to worry about what's in front of us. You know, worry about the moment. Don't worry about, you know, everything. We love you guys, but we can't focus on.
We say a lot of crap. Yeah, we definitely do.
We can't focus on, you know, what's up and coming, and, you know, how they feel about a different team, or, you know, we're supposed to steamroll this team or such and such. We just have to go out there and play our technique, and we got to know that, you know, we are the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be some pressure like that, but we have to just lock in and worry about, you know, what's on the field. So just staying in that moment, understanding that we have to play that down, and that team, and they get paid too. So just understanding that we're going to get their best shot and go out there and just perform how we're supposed to perform. I feel like that's where we take the next step, just where our mental approach and, you know, every game, not thinking that we're going to blow out every team, just going out there and, you know, play by play, playing our best and executing.
Well, I know we would love to talk with you all day, but we don't want to cut into Coach McCarthy's time. We got in trouble with that with Sam Williams.
Yeah,
we got to be careful about that. Thank you very, very much, and thank you again for signing our charity football. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Lewis right here in your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's get into the expressway, do a little mic like to hear from Coach McCarthy, all next live from Oxnard on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy whenever he feels like showing up. In the meantime, Trayvon Diggs is off the PUP list for the Dallas Cowboys, and the United States women's rugby team has won a bronze medal.
Walk-off fashion, baby.
Woo! I need to go back and watch that. Now it's time for some Mike Likes It.
Okay, guys. Hey. Italy's catching up on the United States women's gymnastics team right now.
Oh, dear.
So they had like a 3-point lead, but it's down to like 1.8 now.
Oh, dear. That is a big dent.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly how all the scoring goes, and obviously I don't have the sound on, but I was like, oh, man, we're kicking butt. And I'm not saying that we're not still winning. And China is 3.49 points back. So right now the USA women's gymnastics team is leading in the team competition. Italy pretty close behind, and then China needs to make up some distance if they're going to have a chance.
Currently, Mike, it's 21 total medals for America. The next is France, 17. But the U.S. has 10 bronze, 8 silver, 3 gold, whereas Japan has 7 gold and China has 6. So we got some work, and there are three other countries, if you will, that have 5. So we got some work to do to go play catch up.
Jeff Passan has just broke news that the Yankees acquire Leiter.
But not Jack Leiter.
Oh, yes. Now? Mark Leiter Jr.
Now, oh, okay. Mark Leiter, yeah.
Yeah. So Jack Leiter's cousin.
That is wild to me. That's still wild to me. I know we found out early in the season that that was the case, but that was still wild to me.
All right, so yesterday you guys got to interview Stephen Jones.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask you guys this question first, because Stephen kind of said something as I was listening that I was like, I don't think he's ever been a fan of a team.
Ooh.
Is he said, well, you know, whether you kind of lose in the first round or lose later in the playoffs, it's all the same. We all feel the same as a fan. It all ends up being the same result. You didn't become the champion. So my question to you two guys, take it whoever wants to first, is do you feel the exact same way about the Mavericks coming up this upcoming season and the Cowboys? Because they both ended up losing. One lost in the NBA Finals, the other lost in the first round. Does it feel exactly the same if you're a fan of those teams?
That's a very good question, Mike, because no, it doesn't feel the same way for that team right now. And, I mean, even with the Rangers, you know, it's a different feeling than you thought you were going to have whenever you were getting into this season to where you are today. So, yeah, man, it is definitely a unique place to be.
And, Mike, I think we're going to take a quick pause as we go over to Mike McCarthy. He's going to start his press conference brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas.
David Moore.
Since Sam's injury, what it means for him and what you've seen from him this all season, and then how will you proceed as far as looking outside for a veteran presence, or will you let it play out a little bit with the guys you have?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first with Sam, obviously that's a really tough break, especially for him, because you know he was clearly going to be a primary contributor. You know, as we all felt, I thought he had an excellent off season. You know, did the extra over the summer, was able to see him do some work in person. So, yeah, that's, you know, it's unfortunate when these things happen. But, you know, he'll do a great job in the rehab. And but, yeah, as far as what we're doing moving forward, frankly, this is really what training camp's about. We have some young players that they're going to have a great opportunity. And, you know, as far as moving forward with, you know, bringing in any other guys, you know, that's, to me, that's all part of a normal training camp process. So we'll see what the future brings.
Forward, start talking. Could you just talk about Sam and the progress he's made last couple of years and really opportunity he's going to have?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Sam has, you know, a unique skill set. You know, he's probably one of the most powerful players on our team, you know, as far as his ability to not only come off the edge but do things in space. You know, he did some exceptional things for us on special teams. But yeah, I think he clearly he hit that point, you know, but he was ready to contribute more. I think he was clearly someone in the off-season studies, you know, in hindsight you felt maybe you could have gave him some more opportunities last year. But that was a veteran pass rush unit that he was, you know, competing in. So, but yeah, that's a big one.
Mike Todd, Archer with ESPN, Trayvon coming off PUP. How do you anticipate him working into things?
Smartly. You know, the biggest thing is to get him, you know, stay on his rehab program with Britt, but to get him into the jog throughs and in the teaching drills is the first step, and then, you know, we'll see how we progress into the individual.
How much do you think he just missed it since getting hurt?
Oh, of course he missed it. No one wants to sit in the classroom all day and then, you know, go out and watch his brothers compete. Yeah, he definitely misses it, and I know he'll be excited to be out there.
John Michaud with The Athletic. What's your message to the team, particularly the new guys, when you go into your first padded practice?
Well, we have a process. You know, we have a practice ethic presentation that's, you know, frankly, the original slides are probably about 20 years old. So, I mean, it's something that's been built over time, and there's different experiences that tie into that presentation. Obviously, you know, you have CBA roles that, you know, things that, you know, that you've been practicing with here in the past, and this is the time now that the tempo shifts, you know, and I think the biggest thing is the self-discipline, the emotional discipline of moving forward. But at the end of the day, these are the practices that we need. I mean, this is the closest we'll get to playing real football. But, you know, the real reality is, you know, as you continue to go through these install practices, you know, the stress of what they got to go through schematically. But your team has to learn how to practice, you know, and you go through it every year. It never changes because 25% of our roster is new. So, yeah, there's always some growing pains when you get into this practice. But I know our guys are excited.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Obviously, about Sam, Nealon might have to step up and get more reps. How does he look so far in camp?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Nealon. Nealon. Okay. How does he look so far in camp?
I mean, it looks great. I mean, everybody looks great in helmets and underwear. But, I mean, we're ready to go practice. Yeah, and I know he's excited. You know, saw him in there last night getting some extra work. But, yeah, he's definitely excited.
I mean, obviously, you always talk about the second-year jump, but when you lose Sam Williams, now you're asking a rookie to maybe move up a little bit. How do you think he'll be able to handle this?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, he'll get more opportunities. And, you know, and all of our young guys need this training camp, need this atmosphere. But, you know, definitely he'll get more opportunities to take advantage of, you know, what's in front of him.
Jane Slater, NFL Network. What element of Trayvon Diggs' game did you guys really miss last year, and what excites you about getting him back on the field?
I mean, he's such a playmaker. Obviously, his ability to go get the football, get his hands on the football, you know, his challenge of the receiver, the matchups, all that. Yeah, we missed all of his game, and I think, you know, where he is in his career. I mean, I think his. You know, his value speaks for itself, you know, both with the contract and the way his team. I mean, just think about that day. I mean, that was a bad day for everybody, you know, when he went down.
What do you think about the meeting with Micah Parsons and Mike Zimmer in the morning? Trayvon, I guess, has now been included in that mix.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's all part of this training camp, you know, atmosphere. And, you know, those are the meetings when you look through it, regardless of the position, you get the most out of. So, yeah, I think it's great that those guys are coordinated. But that's what training camp's for, you know, spending that extra time.
Does it show a maturation on Trayvon's part?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, Trayvon's always been a ball, you know, ball guy. I mean, he loves the game. I think you could see that early, you know, as a rookie, and the connection that him and Al Harris have. But I think it's great that he's expanded and, you know, broadened his horizon. It's, you know, it is a new system. So just getting the specifics of it. But yeah, no, you know, I think anytime players and coaches spend one-on-one time together, extra time, there's nothing but good things that come out of that.
The NFL said that coaches have to do in-game interviews this year. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, excited. Real excited about it.
What do you think about that? I mean, just in terms of, you got to talk to them after the half, obviously, that kind of thing, but now it's in the game.
I'm not surprised by it. I mean, I think that's, you know, I think access is something that's, you know, always talked about. So, yeah, I don't know the specifics of it, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's part of our game.
Excited.
Fired up, man. Can't chain me down. Yeah.
Todd, used to be athletic. Mike, we talked to Overshone last year after his injury, and then even a couple of days ago. He just seems to carry a very upbeat mentality and kind of way about him. How have you seen his personality play a role in how he's attacked his rehab, and even before his rehab, how he was last year in the preseason?
Yeah, I agree with your description. I think he has great energy. He's had that from the day he walked in here. His light is bright. You know, he has an infectious personality. Everything he does is full speed. You could obviously see it at the University of Texas. You know, he was everywhere. The way he played, his play style. So, watching him go through the rehab process, you know, the way he attacked that. So, yeah, definitely love his personality, love his approach, and it's great to, you know, start. Continue to bring him back the way we are.
Do you see that with his teammates too? They kind of gravitate towards the way that he kind of.
Oh, definitely. I think it's part of his, you know, his natural personality too. It's not just on the field, but yeah, he definitely brings that to the table.
Yeah. Jeff Cole, Fox 4. Coach Tyler Smith entering his third season here. He's had the ability to be around veterans like Tyron and Zach Martin. And says he's a leader now. How have you seen him develop into a leader here?
Yeah, I think he really kind of started taking those steps last year. You know, I thought that he had some excellent leadership moments. You know, I think his play style is something that he becomes a natural leader by example, you know, because the way he plays, you know, not every leader has to be a vocal or, you know, call him up. You know, there's been many of players go through this league that their play speaks for itself, and it you know, creates the opportunity for others to follow. So he has established that, but yeah, he's definitely speaking up more. And I think if you just look at the dynamics of the offensive line room, you know, you have an experienced group and you got a young group. It's as balanced of a offensive line room as far as experience and youth that I've been a part of.
That what kind of impact can he have on guys like Guyton and BB?
Impact on
guys like Tyler Guyton and Cooper.
Oh, I think he'll continue to have an impact on them. I mean, he's definitely a guy. If I was in that room, I would follow. You know, and you know, we all know the type of leader Zach Martin is. But yes, I mean, Tyler he has that type of command and that credibility. Absolutely.
Joe Hoyt, Lone Star Live. Tyron Billy Johnson has kind of had a unique career. He's been in a lot of places. Obviously had an impressive Sunday practice. What have you kind of seen from him in terms of his growth since he's gotten here?
I mean, he's really done that since he's been here. I mean, he's always someone that makes the practice highlights. I think he needs a full opportunity, you know, and it's great he's here from day one. So, yeah, T. Billy's he's kind of a locker room favorite too. So, just love the way he goes about it.
Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio. Do you remember when in your career you would have convinced yourself that having your young players essentially play a game with a week and a half of practice would be enough?
I've never thought about it. So I think it's just like anything in the game of football. There's changes in training. There's changes in procedure. I've been able to, as a head coach, through two CBAs, and it's part of the job. You have to change and adjust and make sure you get your guys ready to play. And at the end of the day, all 32 teams are operating under the same procedures, and everybody has their process. But I feel like we do a really good job getting our guys ready.
Pat in the back.
Not me. You.
Pat Noni, okay. NBC 5 Dallas. You mentioned Zach Martin a second ago. Building on that, we see the great player on the field that he is over and over again. But what makes him special in the day-to-day that you see from him that has made him into one of these all-time greats that he has become?
If you're looking for one word, I'd say consistency. For as consistent as he is as far as the level of play, he's that same individual each and every day. He's his work ethic, his approach, his command. You don't see a guy that emotionally jumps up and down. He's really consistent, and he gives our young guys just a great role model to follow. But he's clearly one of the most consistent guys I've ever been around.
Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Circling back to the linebacker core, obviously last year because of injury, you guys struggled a lot with depth at that position. We talked a lot with Eric Kendricks, Damone Clark, Overshown obviously coming back. Mm-hmm. But when you see guys like Brock Mogensen with the fourth down stop in the red zone drill, yeah. You see Jason Johnson interception, can you talk about how the switch has flipped from lack of depth to having so much depth?
Yeah, definitely got a lot of depth and really like the young players because, those guys are going to play a ton of football. And it's definitely just like you've already stated, from a numbers perspective, we're in a much better place than we were last year. But we got some young guys that really, really have, we're excited about. And I think Buddy's also someone that you should recognize has done some really nice things here. And you can see his confidence and understanding. And, because he did a hell of a job for us on special teams. But I think he's also taking a big step, as far as the linebacker in the new system.
Coleman Field, JV East Texas. You brought on and added Greg Ellis to your defensive side of the coaching staff, of course, a former Cowboy in the collegiate ranks. What fresh perspective does he bring to your team?
Well, I think it's like anything. I think that when you put together a new staff, you definitely don't want to kind of just go, right with what you had in place. And I think Greg brings that perspective, obviously being a former player. Successful player, and so he brings a player's perspective to his room. But I think that also the being able to identify with Mike Zimmer's defense. He's not only played in it, but he's also he's done some internships with Mike up here in Minnesota. So I mean, there's definitely a connection there, and Mike is very, very high on Greg. Going back to the interview process, so. Love his demeanor, consistent, hardworking, but I think he's been a great addition to our staff.
On Trevon, will be a slow ramp up, days and pads, or how's the process go?
Yeah, it'll be slow. Yeah, I don't look for him. He won't do individual today. He'll work more on the side, so forth. As I said earlier, he'll work more in the mock game, more in the jog through things. We want to get him more in the teaching part of it, kind of going back to phase two in a sense. We'll take them back and kind of progress them. So.
And secondly, Guyton got reps with the first team. How did he do, and will that continue?
You going to practice?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, then check it out. Check it out. Number 60. Yeah. Did good. Yeah, he's. I thought he did some really nice things. I thought he had some good pass sets. You know, I think ability, opportunity to work against Micah, that's always a great opportunity. But yeah, he's. You know, I think the big thing with our young guys is, you know, you got to look at the whole picture. You know, this is their first time to really go full speed in some of these concepts and techniques that we're asking them to do. So, but yeah, I think that all these guys have done a nice job. And today's the first real opportunity to see what it's like. So, excited to get out there. I know everybody is.
You mentioned going against Micah. Can that accelerate his learning process, or is there a flip side of that where it can kind of beat him down a little bit if Mike is constantly getting him in practice?
Well, I think just like anything, anytime you take a rep against a player of Micah's ability, you know, those are quality reps regardless of the outcome. I mean, yeah, this is pro football. You know, to think you're going to go through this league or your first padded practice unscathed is not realistic. Realistic. So, but you know, everybody wants to get out there and compete and so forth. And that's the beauty of why you have video. And that's why we have 9 cameras out there, you know, capturing all this from different angles. And it's a great learning experience.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. Compared to the back half of the season last year, does Damone Clark maybe feel a little bit more free now that a lot of responsibilities are kind of taken off his plate in that linebacker court?
I don't know about free. I think just like anything, I mean, we all have. Every one of us has. We have a job description, you know. Then you have job responsibility. Obviously, it can change and adjust year to year. You know, I think just watching him now settle into his initial responsibility, he's definitely. I know he feels good about it. He's got years of experience under his belt. He's played a lot of football for us. So yeah, I think he'll be better regardless of. You know, the position playing just because of the experiences he's had in the past. But yeah, he definitely looks more confident and he's playing faster.
How important is Eric Kendricks' mentorship to Clark as well?
Well, Eric's very important to that whole defense. You know, obviously he's the one player that's played a lot of football in the system. You know, he's clearly, you know, Mike's voice in the locker room. You know, his green dog ability is. You know, is seamless and that's huge. I mean, he's the quarterback of the defense. So yeah, definitely. I know the other players use him as a sounding board all the time.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And Mike McCarthy right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, which means now we can dip back in with another Mike and Mike Bacsik. And I remember your question from before we started. I don't know if you want to reset because I disagree with what Steven was saying as well.
Yeah, Steven kind of says, well, you lost in the first round. If you'd have lost in the second round or the conference championship or the Super Bowl, it's all the same. You didn't win the championship. And I feel that is not a very good perspective. But if you're not a fan of a team, and I don't think Steven Jones, to be honest, like, what fan would he ever be a team of? Like, by the time he became a fan of it, like, his dad owned the Cowboys. So
right.
I don't think he's ever been a fan of a sports team. So I don't
what
think
about
he gets.
Arkansas? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, they don't play rounds, I guess. Like,
yeah.
They just play – when he was growing up, they would just hopefully play in the Cotton Bowl was their goal.
So the thought I had is I was just thinking about, obviously, the Cowboys, but also, like, Duke basketball. If they would have lost to Houston in the Sweet 16, I would have been like, yeah, well, that's just a better team. That sucks. I'd be frustrated. But then not only did they win, they were a heavy favorite going into the Elite Eight, and then they lost, and that loss felt more crushing than any Sweet 16 loss possibly could have been.
Yeah, the other thing, too, like, I mean, Abradis probably has an interesting perspective on this, having worked in that front office and having to have a business mind about the team. You still have this, like, you're rooting for these guys, you're pulling for these guys. You have some of the dudes on the team, you're just like, there's a very specific interest. Maybe it's their family that you want to see them be able to provide for or whatever. And so you do kind of have to look at it a little bit differently when you're in that front office, because again, Kevin, as I've often said about JD, he was cold-hearted. He made cold-hearted decisions a lot of times that you were like, that's not you know, why would a, you wouldn't do that to a family man? And he's like, well, this is a business that I'm trying to win games in. But yes, Mike, with our fan base, we look at the Mavericks right now and we're like, their arrow is pointing up. And I think that's where we are with a lot of teams, is you're always, that arrow is always going back and forth and back and forth to see where exactly it is. And hold on, you don't think that's true? No, within this Rangers season that's happening.
No, I agree. I just keep thinking about the Cowboys, and that's why what he said is a little bit wild to me, is the Cowboys lost to Green Bay hurts so much more looking at the path to the NFC Championship game than it would have if you're like, hey, we're going to start the playoffs on the road.
All you were thinking was, we just got to get over San Francisco. Everybody else is in the dust behind us.
Yeah, and so that loss to Green Bay hurt way more because of all of the implications of advancing.
Was it a couple of years ago that the loss didn't hurt as much because you were like, nah, this is still a good core that you can build on? And I think that's where, when you see the arrow is still kind of pointing up, you take it a lot differently.
All right, so my last Mike likes it is, I always think this is the craziest thing right now, so you can explain to everybody if they're kind of first time listener, is there was a press conference for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And now there's another 20 minute press conference that's not in front of the microphones. And I think it's the silliest thing in the history of sports is that there's a 20 minute press conference that we're carrying that you can ask any question you want for the most part, but they're all, the media is reserving all their real questions for off the mic.
It does feel like sometimes you get more open answers in the, let's just call it the breakaway or the breakout. I know there are other names for it that
the
are
walk
probably
off. Yeah.
Yeah, that are probably less radio friendly, but I'm with you, Mike. I do think that is odd.
They are right over Kevin's right shoulder right now, just about 20 feet down the path, asking him more information to try and say, hey, you didn't talk about this and we know you weren't going to say this publicly. But off record, on record, yeah. What's it like over here?
There'll be media guys that try to do that to Bochy. When I'm at home for the games, he does a press conference in the dugout. You'll see it on the pregame show. That's where Emily Jones or Leslie McCaslin or whoever, they get to ask the first couple questions, and then the rest of the media joins in after. Boch will sometimes sit there if he knows he doesn't have to be behind the cage for batting practice immediately because it hasn't started yet. And so sometimes he'll just kind of, but it's kind of like fun conversation. It's not a serious conversation. And sometimes Evan Grant wants to ask a serious question in that situation. And you can tell that Boch is like, dude, I just did the press conference.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just part of like relationship building, you know?
Yeah. And so then, but a lot of times Boch is like, we're good. I got to go watch batting practice now. You know, I'm going to be with my coaching staff and watch practice. And it's just interesting to me is like, there's still another 20 minute press conference going on right now.
No, you make a great point. That is an oddity of
And do they get mad at you for
media.
Talking right now? They're like, I can't believe you're talking.
No, they learned. That's why they walked off a little further.
I'd tell them to move off a couple more booths to where nothing's going on. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Man, there are some Madden ratings out that show you what your team looks like right now, but also, if a dude didn't play in the NBA, but he dominated the Olympics, would you consider him a legend? Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.